Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 136 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Parma-Inter, which finished 2-2 at the Ennio Tardini. Goals from Matteo Darmian in the 15th, Marcus Thuram in the 45th. 2 weeks in a row in Serie A, a banger to get the opposition back into the team from Bernabe in the 60th. And then Ondrejka, 9 minutes later, a shot that goes off of Darmian past Sommer into the net, and the game ends 2-2. Inter does not put on the pressure. Most would categorize this as letting Napoli back into the title race, which, you know, depending on the results that they have against Bologna, could very well be the case. Although I think everyone can acknowledge that this wasn't going to be a breeze through these last 8 or 9 games that we were dealing with. So, yeah, 2 weeks in a row, not very shaky from Inter after going up 2-0 on their opponents. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. We missed our first game in a long time. Some scheduling issues, some unforeseen circumstances, but not the kind that are upsetting. But we're happy to be back in the booth here for our favorite kind of episode, discussing an Inter that fit wise.
Yo, sorry. We may want to stop because you're starting. I don't know why you're starting to get really staticky, your mic, and I don't know if it's gonna.
Oh, wait. How about now?
Oh, that's way better.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I should just put this here. That's better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, an Inter who I tweeted after the game from our account. The effort was pathetic. The mentality was weak. So, Johnny, why don't we kick off with your one word to describe yesterday?
Sorry, I'm thinking of that one word because I had a few that I wanted to share, but one word. Uninspired. Let's go with uninspired.
I agree. Uninspired on the part of the players, uninspired on the part of the coaching. Inzaghi was up in the booth for this one, but obviously still making the changes, changes that definitely feel like they were looking ahead and not trying to necessarily close out the game, you know, with our best foot forward here in Serie A. So here's the deal. As of right now, we're up 4 on Napoli. They play Bologna Monday night. I mean, I think, Gianni, you and I are both in agreement that Bologna is a very strong team. We're going to have to play them down the stretch. So by no means is it like, you know, Napoli are going to breeze past them. I mean, that could be the case. We don't know how it's going to play out, but I think there's also confidence on our end that Bologna can do a job. But either way, you know, if you look at across Europe for the teams that had the midweek cups, Real Madrid ended up losing their game. Barcelona tied. Obviously, Inter throws away a 2-game lead. Are you willing to allow this discussion about the amount of competitions that we're in to take hold for what we saw yesterday? Or is that just an excuse that ultimately it doesn't matter if Fratesi or Aslani is on the pitch or Zalewski is on the pitch or Arnautovic or Correa, that Parma is the kind of team that you need to be beating, of course, sitting in 18th place?
I think to be. I mean, I know they're in 18th place. I understand that, but I also think that. I mean, we've said this before. You can't take any team in Serie A for granted. You can't just it's not automatic. As much as we want it to be, and like, I mean, listen, I'm guilty of it. There's times where I think we've played Milan, and I'm like, automatic. Like, we're gonna win. Like, no issue with that. Teams show up to play, and not for nothing. But Kibu has done a fantastic job since he's taken over Parma. Forget about just this game. Like, let's look at what he's done since he's taken over. So you knew that they were going to be amped up. I'm sure he was able, because he's been there, to convey to his players just how big of a game this is, how big of an opportunity this is. So you just can't expect we are the Inter, we're going to show up and win. We also, as fans, need to recognize that, listen, I'm disappointed with the performance, but we're never going to go 38-0. It's just not going to happen. There's going to be games like this. There's going to be frustrations. And it's okay to be frustrated. But we also need to curb our expectations and understand that it is a long season. And even though, like we've said last episode, that we can't expect other teams to do our bidding for us, we also can't just assume, like somebody who, it's actually driving me crazy. And I don't want to go into names, but they are pretty much winning, like, you know, giving Napoli the title too. So we are Inter. This is, I'm sure that they are going to understand the importance of finishing this season strong. And I'm still confident in what we're able to do and that we're going to be able to win this title.
Yeah, I'm there with you as far as let's not have the sky falling here. I think, you know, when we had this conversation, when there was 10 games left, it's like, what's it going to be as far as the point total out of those final 10 games? And we both agreed, like, it wasn't going to be 30 points. Things were going to be dropped. And listen, Parma, there are some players on Parma that I would very much like to see at Inter in the future. Boni gave more problems to Acerbi than we've seen other top class strikers do, in recent weeks. He ate up Bisek when he had the opportunity to go against him. And we're definitely going to have a conversation about Bisek here in a little bit. Bernabe, you know, I think it was Martin Nielsen had mentioned, like, he wasn't interested in having Bernabe because of the injury history, but there's no doubting it that when he came on the pitch, and also because of Kivu's changes, like, he ended up mirroring Inter system. They're younger, you know, more athletic against a team that is run down at the moment. It was the right call, and Bernabe was like a star. Obviously, putting a world class goal in the back of the net as well. You know, there's a few players on Parma that are pretty good. Obviously, Kivu, you know, did his part in that game, but I think, you know, looking at Inter Twitter, and everyone is trying to assign blame, and we'll talk about each of these parties, but I want to start first with the players. Having holding down a lead, you know, 2-1 at that point, with Fratesi, Aslani, Correa, Mkhitaryan, Zalewski on the pitch, Bisek having a terrible game, Thuram, you know, not having his best game at all. That's a recipe for disaster. And when I think the conversation around guys like Fratesi and Aslani specifically, you know, we've been critical of them, but people have come at us like, you know, whether we're being too harsh or whether they're actually talented players. I think, like, there's talent there, but also it can't be more evident than in a game like that yesterday, that we can do better than those players. And it's not about, like, you know, they need time to grow and stuff like that. It's more about fit within the system. Like, we can't, Aslani can't be our backup to Hakan. We need to be thinking, like, a little bit more long-term there. And same thing with Fratesi. He can't be the, you know, the like-for-like option off the bench, because he's just not dynamic enough. So it's not a matter of trying to shit on these players. It's just more so, if in order to survive as a football club these days, you know, given where the money is, you need to be able to compete on all fronts. And we need players that can close out a result against a Parma, as opposed to those guys who, like, you spent 35 on Fratesi. You rejected, you know, 20 million for Aslani. This is the exact kind of game where, you know, we have Champions League coming up in midweek. We just played Coppa Italia. We have a Serie A game against Parma. You know, we need you guys, you young guys, to show some athleticism, show some drive, show some talent to be able to, you know, seal the deal for us. And that, you know, was just not the case. Is there a player for you that let you down the most with regards to yesterday's 90?
I mean, I guess for me, it's got to be one of those midfielders. I'm sorry. Like, I want to be proven wrong. I want to have people like say like, oh man, what a bad take, Gianmarco. Like, you said this about Fratesi. You said this about Aslani. Look what he was able to do. They're just not good enough. Like you said, like, they are not up to the standard at this club. They're not up to being even substitutes. And people were trying to say, oh, they just don't fit Inzaghi's system. Well, then, I mean, if you're not able to adapt, because you can make a case that Mkhitaryan didn't fit Inzaghi's system, Hakan didn't fit Inzaghi's system, and those guys were able to make it work. You know, like, we were all excited because we thought, oh, look, Christian Eriksen would be able to adapt to Inzaghi's system. Like, it's not like they're trying to play a completely different sport. It's just learning what is expected from your manager. And for all the things that Fratesi is supposedly good at, which is just, you know, high energy, goal scoring, and ball winning, I've only seen the goal scoring aspect in his game. Aslani, I honestly don't know what he was ever really good at. When he was at Empoli, I mean, what I remember the most was the goal that he scored against Inter that almost, you know, broke our back kind of thing. And no, are we going to be able to be, you know, winners or contenders in this? I mean, he's a very mid player. And I don't think that he's someone, I think that he should be gone in the summer. No question about it. But those guys just didn't really impress me. I thought Aslani turned the ball over a lot in the midfield yesterday. I thought that he just was pretty sloppy with some of his passing.
The most egregious thing is like the skying the shots. Like, there's 10 minutes left to play and, you know, we need to put something on goal, and you're booting it 40 yards over the net, like from 30 yards out. Like, there wasn't a better option. That is the most frustrating part of his game for me, because it feels like he thinks he's got something that time and time again he shows us that he doesn't have.
He thinks he's like, you know, prime Lampard or something, ripping shots from back there. I don't know. And I think it's a very telling thing that he was subbed off to bring on Arnautovic. You know, like, if you are taking your holding midfield, I understand you want to win the game. Like, but if you're taking him off and not maybe a midfielder who normally plays further up the pitch to bring on someone to potentially score a goal, I think that kind of tells you all you need to know about how management feels towards him. So
yeah, well, yesterday was very much like the Udinese game in the fact that it was a tale of two halves. It played out a little differently, but as far as the first half from Inter, 68% possession, you know, 15 shots on goal, they showed that they were the superior side, obviously going into the break 2-0 up. But also there were signs in that first half of a team that wasn't totally either mentally there or physically there. And I think there's a little bit of both. So as far as like the mental aspect of it, the breakaways that they were giving up, which if not for Jan Sommer, this game would have been like 3-2 Parma in the first half, just in the first half alone. The point blank saves that he was making, but just like very laissez-faire defending, you know, tracking and so forth, letting Parma hit these switches. One in particular where Bisek tried to just like hit it with his heel, went right by him. Darmian couldn't time it right. ball gets played across, and if it wasn't for like legit an unbelievable stop by Sommer, they would have been 1-0 up in a game that we were dominating. So that's the mental aspect of just them not being present and being wary of what Padma was trying to do to them. Then there's the physical aspect of like, how many scuffed shots did we see from this team? Where it's just like, you don't have the legs to be able to react quick enough. Lautaro, I thought, was the most egregious example. Like, he had, whether it was headers, whether it was volleys, he had plenty of opportunities to put the ball in the back of the net after being off the pitch for a while. And we can bring that up as part of the physical. Like, yeah, he's probably not at 100% and needed to get some minutes under his legs. But at the same time, like, even a Lautaro at 40% should be putting those efforts on target at the very least. And all those like moments where you're not being clinical enough, of course it was going to come back to bite us, because that's what's happened to Inter. This naiveness to this squad where you go into the second half 2-0 up, and they completely took their foot off the gas. And I don't know if it was like they were trying to hit Padma on the break. You know, they were up 2 goals to the good. Padma needed to come into it and they would hit us on the break. But the fact of the matter is, that's not been a good recipe for Inter this year for a couple of reasons. One, we don't have the legs on the breakaway. Like, doesn't it feel like every time we're on the break, it's usually Mkhitaryan that has the ball, just like a turtle moving the ball up the pitch? Duram, you know, has lost the step after these injuries. We're not able to hit teams on the breakaway to begin with. And number two, you let these teams gain confidence against you where they can, you know, they feel like they can get back into the game, which is exactly what happened. The game really took a turn with these substitutions that occurred. And let me look at the minutes here and the substitutions that actually happened. And I want to get your take on whether or not these were the right moves. So Carlos Augusto in the 46th minute, in the second half, he comes on for Bastoni, who apparently took a knock to his knee, but he's going to be fine. That substitution looks like it was made for the Bayern Munich game in specific. Do you have any issue with that? Knowing that when Bastoni comes off the pitch, things tend to happen, but do you have to take Bayern Munich into account in this specific instance?
I think with him, you have to. And I only say that because if you look at the way Bayern play, and two, just how important the Champions League is for a club like ours, to have a rested Alessandro Bastoni is pretty important to be able to get the win against them. And even though they have injuries, and I mean, and we may be fortunate that they don't have Musiala, they obviously don't have Alphonso Davies. You know, Bayern has a laundry list of injuries. They're still a great team. So I think you like want to be at your best for a matchup like that. So I wasn't thrilled with him coming off because of, like you said, like when he does, things tend to go bad for us. But that's when I kind of did understand.
Yeah, I'm right there with you also, because Carlos Augusto, like, that's you envision that he can handle Parma. And I mean, he's shown that throughout his Inter career, that he's up for this moment.
And I think he played well when he came on. I mean, none of it was really, none of the goals were his fault. So yeah.
Yep. Then Zalewski comes on for Di Marco. That's another switch that definitely looks like it was in mind for Bayern Munich, but also Di Marco was on a yellow. Zalewski, man, I don't know. I'm still in between on him, because he comes on and he attempts the take on most of the time, but he's not actually like super quick to get around his defenders. It's usually more of like, you know, he shifts between foot to foot, and that's what catches defenders off balance, and he creates a little bit of space to deliver a cross, but it's not a speed thing. He's not a particularly great like athlete that can blow by you. Where are you with Zalewski at this point? Do you redeem that?
Yeah, I redeem him, no question. 6 million, 7 million, whatever it is, he's an upgrade in my opinion. He's better than what we get from Tajon. So, I mean, listen, I'm such a fan of his that I actually ended up buying his rookie card yesterday too. You know, I got, even though it's a Roma kit, I'm a fan of Zalewski, and I think that he can do a job. Yesterday wasn't his best cameo appearance, but I still think that he's a good player and can offer us something.
Here's where things really, really go wrong. 65th minute, 5 minutes after Parma, you know, comes back into the game at 2-1, Lautaro Martinez and Hakan Çalhanoğlu come off the pitch. In come Davide Fratesi and Joaquin Correa. Now, this has to be with Bayern in mind, because Inzaghi can't be this like daft where he thinks, I'm going to bring on Correa and Fratesi in a game that I completely lost control of, and we're going to get back into this. Obviously, that's not the case. If anything, like, you just made your team significantly softer, because Fratesi, you mentioned the ball winning, the duel winning that we thought was going to occur. That just hasn't been a part of his Inter career. And Correa is not even going to go in for a challenge. So instantly, you just got a lot softer. They end up scoring 4 minutes after those two get on the pitch. So for me, this feels like a determination that was made prior to the game even starting. Hakan and Lautaro, you're only getting 65 minutes. Lautaro coming back from injury, you know, that is what it is. And then Çalhanoğlu obviously played midweek against Milan, has Bayern coming up. But it's this great debate of, like, do you try to win the game that you're playing right now and further put distance between the Scudetto, or do you take the risk with a game coming up against Bayern on Tuesday? Where do you stand on that substitution duo that occurred in the 65th minute that ultimately I think is what led to this game going the way that it did?
Yeah, these I hated. Hakan is... I'm trying to think of a way to really... I mean, I don't want to say the stereotypical stuff, but he is the engine of our midfield. He is the driving force. He is the one that really brings it all together. As much as I love Barella, I think that you take him off and it's an immediate drop off in skill. It's insane levels of drop off. Like, it's almost as if you go from a, you know, let's say a U.S. national team player to a Division II college player. Like, that is the level of drop off. And whether it's Fratesi or Aslani, they're just not good enough. And I'm not saying that second goal was a direct result of those guys, but, like, it almost feels like there is a shift in mentality that every player thinks that I have to do something more, or, you know, play out of my mind just to make up for their lack of skill or their lack of ability, whether it be on the ball or off the ball. Like, the drop off is insane. So I think it does, you know, cause mental shifts, because, you know, someone may think I need to leave my position to go make a challenge or try to cut a pass off or try to do something, leaving themselves exposed at the back. Granted, the second goal, you know, I mean, he was surrounded by three defenders, really. Unfortunate bounce that went off of Acerbi, but it's just, it's insane what bringing these guys on does, because even though they may all be buddy-buddy in the dressing room, I think they also are self-aware or aware enough to know that these guys are just not good enough to play alongside them.
I can't imagine that Bastoni and Di Marco sitting on the bench feel comfortable about what's happening. But let me toss you a different change to make, okay? Lautaro, I know, can't go more than 65. Like, I'm okay with that, given that he's coming back from injury and that there's Bayern in the future. So I would have pulled him, but not for Correa. I would have pulled him for Arnautovic. Again, we don't hit teams on the break anyway. Like, just get the more physical steel in there. put the long ball up and let Thuram and Arnautovic challenge and be the target man and play off of each other. So I would have gone Arnautovic over Correa. You can still play Correa, but here's how I would have done it. I would have subbed out Aslani for Fratesi. I would have moved Hakan back into Regista. Instead of him playing 65 minutes, I think he can play another 10 minutes, get you to 75 minutes with the midfield of Mkhitaryan, Hakan, Fratesi, with Arnautovic and Thuram up front. Hopefully you score with that configuration. You know, if you don't and you need to pull Hakan, then at that point, you can pull Hakan in the 75th minute for Correa, go to a 3-4-1-2, or even a 3-5-2 with Correa acting kind of as a mezzala, which we've seen, you know, Inzaghi pull before, and go Mkhitaryan in front of the defense. And for everyone that's saying like, oh, he can't play there, Inzaghi's put Mkhitaryan in front of the defense before, number one. And number two, the way this game played out anyway, when he ended up pulling Aslani in the 81st minute, Mkhitaryan went back and was the, you know, playmaker back there. He was acting like the regista. That's how I would have played it. And essentially what you get there is more time of Arnautovic and Thuram on the pitch to be able to corral some of the long balls coming out of the defense. And two, an extra 10 minutes of Hakan that might have, you know, set things a little bit tighter through the end of the game. So that's what I would have done. I've never won a Scudetto, so what do I know? But yeah, I think this is where the game was lost. I think this is where the game was lost. And, you know, whether it's a mandate from the top of you have to compete in all these competitions versus like just win the games that are in front of you, I don't know. I'm not in training every day. I don't see how beat up these guys are. But I do think that there was a way to win this game. And the only thing that you have to deal with is 10 extra minutes of Hakan on the pitch. And I know he played a lot. He played midweek, and I know he's going to be expected to play a lot against Bayern. And I know you don't want to bring on this. Is Aslani suspended for Bayern?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, that's how I would have played it out. Okay. Thoughts on Jan Bisek? I have a lot to say about this guy, but I want to hear you out here.
Yeah, he feels like a massive regression, huh?
Completely like just, fell off.
I don't even recognize the player out there. Yeah, somebody's got to find out what's going on with him because he just looks like an absolute liability in defense. Zero awareness. Doesn't know when a guy's making a run behind him. Doesn't know how to handle, a player attacking him directly. Doesn't know what to do when, you know, a ball is bouncing around in the 6-yard box. Reaction time just seems like, you know, a 5-year-old's out there, like just unable to recognize anything. It's insane. You know, early in the season, we were having discussions like, hey, should he be starting over Pavard? And now it's like, I don't want to see him ever over Pavard. I don't care what the situation is. It's insane just what a fall off it's been. You know, we were joking, you know, oh, is someone going to come in and pay $60-$80 million for Bisek? I'd be surprised if somebody offered us 20 at this point because of just how poorly he's been. So I don't know if there's something going on in his personal life. Obviously, we're not there. We don't know. You know, there could very well be something that's taking his attention away from the game. It's unfortunate if that's the case. You know, I do understand on the human level of things, but this is a big part of our season, and everyone needs to be kind of, you know, honed in to be able to perform to the best of their abilities. And he just has not been one of the. He's probably been since January in my top three of most disappointing players.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Inzaghi knows that because he played Bisek 2 games in a row so that Pavard can be there against Leroy Sané because Sané would destroy Bisek. Oh, it's God. I'm shocked at the lack of progression as far as his defensive awareness goes. Like, it's just, you mentioned he doesn't know when people are cutting across him. It seems like he's a one-trick pony when someone's defending at him. Like, he wants to take away the option to the outside. And if you cut across him, you, even as a defender, if you're playing someone so that they can cut inside, you still do, like, challenge once they do. You have to give enough time for your center back who's occupied with a, you know, another forward, time to close down the space. So you still need to challenge. You're not, you know, the expectation is that, you know, the center back's going to cover you, but just like he just stops playing. Like, oh, he got past me. Like, now it's someone else's responsibility. Now you're good. And you talk about the reaction time when a ball is bouncing in the box. Like, I don't know that that's even reaction time because of the athlete that he is. I think it's, and you could see it in other parts of his game, it's like he doesn't want to take the responsibility of getting in there and getting, you know, getting the ball out of the box. It's a mentality. It's like, where's the personality? Even offensively, that header that he had late in the game with the corner kick where he just completely shoots it past the post. Like, there's no, I just don't know what happened to him. All of the raw talent in the world, but between what he did against Udinese, at fault for, you know, both of the actions that could have potentially tied the game, and then just a horrible performance here against Parma. Like, this is a guy who, like you said, we have high hopes for, but there's got to be some progression in his game defensively. And we, early on in Bastoni's career, I think we had these same issues, even up until recently, not this season, but, you know, we had these same issues as far as his defense goes. So yeah. I wouldn't rule out him being able to fix things in the future, but he's been bad. Like, he's been an absolute liability defensively. This is the point in the season where, like, the guys that are not the starters have to come in and do a job and just, like, shut things down. And he's not done that at all. So yeah. Do we have anyone positive to talk about here? I thought Bastoni and Acerbi did their jobs. Jan Sommer.
I was going to say, he's the guy you have to mention. I can't fault him on any of the goals. You know, even the first one, that was an absolute perfect shot by Bernabe. It kind of looks like it went through, if I'm not mistaken, Mkhitaryan. Like, it was hard to see. Not that he, you know, made a mistake, like, did a poor job. It's just, it was kind of hard to see. And that was literally placed in the bottom corner, like, perfectly. He would have had to have been 6'5", you know, like Donnarumma's height to make that save from where he was. No fault there. And the second one's a deflection. And then the saves that he made, I mean, like you said, point blank, reactionary saves. And he's so calm in those situations. I feel like some goalkeepers start flailing or panicking or trying to make themselves bit. Like, it's like he almost knows the perfect way to come out, what angle to take, and how to make those saves. I mean, it's no secret. I love Jan Sommer. He's to me, one of the most underrated goalkeepers in world football. Not just, you know, recently, but like probably in the last 10, 15 years. He's just been that good. And, you know, yeah, we probably lose this game if it's not for him. So
I love that you say, like, the calm, because it's also the perfect, like, juxtaposition between Jan Sommer, a veteran, and Jan Bisek, a kid. Jan Sommer was staring down the barrel of Boni coming right at him. Like, there nothing between him and Boni, and there's no panic. There's no panic. It's just, like, locked in, focus. Wherever the striker decides to go, I'm going to go out and make the save. And he does that on multiple occasions. And I think, you know, for as much as, and I'm a fan of Josep Martínez too, and I thought he was good against Milan, but Yeah, we were having these conversations like, do you stick Jose Martinez in there? Do you bring Yan Sommer back? There is an element of cool, calm, collectedness from, you know, a veteran keeper that's seen it all, that's in these last, how many points or how many goals has Yan Sommer directly been responsible for stopping? At least two against Udinese, at least two yesterday against Parma. Just huge, huge. Yeah. And he needs more appreciation. I don't think people have spoken about him the way that he needs to be spoken about. All right. Anything else on this game before we get into listener comments, Q&A, and so forth?
No. No. This was pretty straightforward with this one, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into what you guys thought about this game on Twitter. All right. At Demosthenes underscore CLE. Inter's incredibly passive. Every single game, we either blow a lead or sweat it out after letting the other team back into the game. Yep, we've seen that a few times this year. There's a, I think Nima has categorized it as arrogance, and I would agree with that. It does feel like you can't just throw away in consecutive games to nothing advantages and let the other team get back into the game. Nick Costa. Inzaghi again overmanaged the game, having a midfield of Aslani, Mkhitaryan, and Fratesi when every point matters is mid-table level managing. I can't wait for a roster refresh this summer. That roster refresh is...
it's coming, and I can't wait either. I can't wait.
Yep. It's a dire necessity. I'm actually
like... I didn't bring this up, but I was like, at one point I was watching, and I was like, I wonder what we would be doing with Sučić out there. Like, how bad do we actually need him? And I, you could call me crazy, you can call me whatever. I think that if he's there, we actually probably hang on to that win. I think we're able to control the midfield a little bit better with him out there, as opposed to the bums that we did end up bringing on.
Without question. And he also can play both Metsala and Regista. Like, he's quite literally the better Aslani, and he's the better Fratesi. Like, he can do either one.
Not even a question.
No. Yeah. Yeah. All right. At Zaid206GTI, a game that we should have won. There's no reason or justification to concede the two goals. Parma didn't play particularly good football either, which is telling by their league position. We do rely heavily on Bastoni. We keep conceding when he's not on the pitch. Yep. Yeah, we mentioned that. Talukan Mundus, pathetic is Inter Twitter telling me Aslani, Zalewski, Arnautovic, and Thuram are good. Thuram is good, but it's obvious that the injury has hurt him.
Yeah, Thuram is good. I would never say he's not good.
Yeah. Alex Mirati, does it have to do with our midfield depth? But Baran and Çalhanoğlu seems to pull the string of the midfield week in and week out. Yeah, without question. The midfield depth being Fratesi and Aslani and not being able to go to Zielinski is a huge, huge reason why these games go the way that they do. Huyan, why isn't there a charity case home for some of these players? I'm referring to Aslani and Fratesi. We're constantly trying to get them involved and even having other players cover for their weaknesses. This needs to stop. Huyan, that's more like the roster construction. Like, they need to play these players, unfortunately. I think if you gave it, you know, took Inzaghi aside in a quiet moment and asked him if he wants to be throwing on those two options, he would tell you no. He would tell you no.
But I agree with you. Yeah. Don't worry. Like, yeah, these guys, they need to be sent to the gulag.
Yep. A couple comments from Huyan and at M6Zeki about, did we overrate Bisek? Major discussion needs to be held around Bisek. Yeah. Yeah. All right. At a person 1352, weird to think about it, but is it fair to say the Zielinski injury is hurting us more than we thought it would?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because In both instances of the Fratesi and Aslani situations, Zielinski would have been the better Regista choice, and he would have been the better Mazzala choice over Fratesi. So, yeah, that injury is looming large. But also, you know, I don't want to get into the habit of leaning on those excuses, because look at the injuries that Bayern has to deal with.
Yeah. But let's be fair, they're also in a much weaker league.
Yeah. Where they can get away with their starters going down. Yeah, you know, we had mentioned it briefly on the pod, but what other league, like the manager like Kivu is making a tactical change right out the gate for the second half that is completely game changing. Like the managers in Serie A are active, like they're alive on the sidelines, you know, and making switches during a game that have an effect on it. All right, we got a couple speak pipes here.
Oh boy.
Our boy Gino Panino.
Very poor effort from Inter, especially up 2-0 at half. I feel like they definitely let up. Our bench did not step up as they could. I feel like the substitutes were really good already, was Adam and Chalinolu coming off. But still 1 point ahead, depending on how Napoli does with Bologna. And with Bayern Munich looking ahead of us. So, words to Inter always. Gino Pino from Vancouver. Congratulations on the new family edition.
Thank you, Gino.
See, I'm not Gino, guys. I didn't congratulate Alessandro. I did not care. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, that's not true. All right, very pissed off Inter fan.
I say this is unbelievable, but it really isn't. This has happened too many times, but we didn't get punished. And if you're asking me, I wished that Pellegrino put it in at the end there to on 3 points. How we played in the second half by just, you know, trying to manage the game, and we've proven time and time again that we just simply can't do that. And Inzaghi made some two moves in the second half. You know, we're absolutely trouble here. And it's not going to change because he can't really do anything differently unless, you know, we start the game with ourselves and then we put in our strong players afterwards. And that's just obviously not going to happen. So I'm not going to be asking for better because we're just not going to get better unless, you know, the center comes around and then we go for a squad, which we do need to start letting go of three guys in particular. And we've already talked about this. So, you know, you know, to Padma for earning the point. They were 2 points dropped, but, you know, hey, the ball's been that one's turned out. So let's see what happens. Ciao, guys.
Very interesting point that he made there that I want to talk about. But I also think it's important to point out, like, there is a consensus among Interisti regarding there needing to be a squad overhaul this summer. You know, I think there was consensus coming into the season that we had good depth, you know, albeit a few people that were, you know, that were getting it right and not expecting Fratesi or Aslani to make a jump. I was, but I think that's more of my hopeful nature as opposed to really looking at objectively. That's a win for Gianni over me in that regard. But something that he said that I haven't seen a lot of is, like, Inzaghi had no choice, which I do agree with. It's, you have a certain amount of minutes that you have to allocate to everybody. Not everybody can play 90 minutes. And when your choices are Fratesi and Aslani, it's like, what do you do? I thought there was a different way to play that substitution. I do think, like, for his part, you know, you have to try to find a different way of playing instead of just doing like for like subs within your system. But, you know, do you agree with that? Like, his hands are sort of tied by the fact that these are the only guys that he can go to, or do you believe that he can do something different as far as the tactics, or even, you know, Bettenbruck was on the bench and so was Stavalovic.
I was just going to bring those guys up because it's like, I agree to an extent, But he also doesn't want to use some other options that are at his disposal, like those young players. And I don't understand it. I don't understand why a club like, you know, Chelsea, as much as I hate them, can throw on a 17 or an 18-year-old in those instances. Why is it that Pep Guardiola can trust, was able to trust a young, you know, Phil Foden, a young Cole Palmer before he got sold to Chelsea himself? Like, why were they able to lean on some youth players? And I'm not saying they didn't do it in every game initially, but a game here, a game there. Like, why are we not? We saw more from Berenbrook in 10 minutes than we've probably seen from Fratesi all season. We saw it. Anyone who watched that game was like, wow, this guy has great control. Like, I don't understand why they're not leaned on more. It'll drive me crazy until who knows when.
Yeah. But I mean, same thing with De Pieri too. Like,
yeah.
I know Monaco was 10 men, but, you know, I mean, the kid.
But he was lively.
The kid was shifty, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to get something done. All right, so, man, there's really not a lot left here. We are 4 points ahead of Napoli. Napoli has a game in hand. They play Bologna. The rest of their season looks like Empoli, Monza, Torino, Lecce, Genoa, and Parma. I mean, this was a bad time for a slip-up. We absolutely need Bologna to get a result here to ease this pressure. And then for Inter, Bayern Munich, and then Cagliari is right in between those. We have to play Bologna. We have to play Roma. You know, still have a second leg against Milan, Verona, Torino, Lazio, Como. I mean, these are real, real tough games. This was a poor, poor time to be dropping points. But ultimately, at the end of the day, like, it is in our hands, right? Even if Napoli picks up the win away against Bologna, it is still in our hands. Although you don't feel super great about it, given the fixture list. Serie A Twitter is going to be super interesting if Napoli overtakes it when we start talking about the fixture list and the you know, the discussions about European football and commitments. Because frankly, if you look at every other league that is still being decided, like, let's just use you know, Germany to a certain extent, but we can use Spain. The teams that are in it are, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, they're teams that still have other commitments. You know, Liverpool's running away with it, but the teams that are in the top four, like, they had other commitments. So yeah, Inter's the only team or the only league where we have to deal with an opponent that just doesn't have the fixture congestion that we do. So it is what it is. All right. Anything you want to say to the listeners before we get out of here?
Nah. Nobody cares about the USL like I do, so no point.
Do we have a game to be watching? Are we going to plug anything?
Nah, we just had a big win last night, so.
Congrats. There you go.
No, Nocerino doing his thing.
He is. He is future Inter manager. Who knows what can be said? Maybe a little early for that. But
might be a little early for that, yeah.
Let's see how it shakes out. All right, the words of the great Roberto Scarpini. Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.